Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of the Beer Fridge Podcast. On this week's episode, we talk everything fierce, Prince William, and did you know the fucking top 10 bitches?
Beer Fridge Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another weekly episode of your favourite Beer Fridge Podcast, your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. As always, wherever you listen to the podcast, make sure you subscribe, hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of all the latest episodes. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, same again, ding-a-ling, down below, helps us out. Drop us a 5-star rating and you can show your official support also by heading to patreon.com/beer fridge podcast. I am Gavin. I've got my drinking buddies beside me in the form of Callum and Scott. Good evening.
Hello, hello.
What is happening? No guest this week, and purposely so. We've been a packed February, so it seems like a perfect time to recap. Some tremendous beers have been drunk. Have been sampled
as well because he's quite shite.
I know. It seemed like a good time to recap and also go over some news that we've not mentioned on the podcast over those couple of weeks as well, and throw our 5 pence at it as well. Why the fuck not? Right, start off as we normally do and go around the virtual table and see what we're drinking this fine evening. Mr. Muir, what the fuck is happening and what's in your vessel?
Well, I'm currently working my way through my second beer, my first. Shout out to Budvar from a few weeks back. Picked this up in Home Bargains. It went out of the vessel and then disappeared immediately. The dark lager, an absolute winner. Home Bargains, £1.69. Why would you buy any other beer ever?
What a price.
Why would you buy any other beer ever? And I've now moved on to last week's guest, Powder Monkey. Not to be confused with Shadow Monkey, apparently.
My bad.
this one is Fearless Monkey, they're pale ale, and it has lemon drop and calypso hops. And it's really, really, as the name suggests, it's really, really fresh and zingy. It's like sherbet lemons, but without the sourness, really. It's really great. Cracking body, delicious pale ale at 4.4%. Entirely smashable, and you know, I've not had a bad beer out of that lot that was sent up by Powder Monkey.
No, their beers are genuinely been absolutely ridiculous, and we'll get more deep dive into that in a second after we find out. Scott, what are you drinking?
Well, just the same folk. Powder Funky's Drop Anchor, Vienna Pale Ale. 4.6%.
That was so good. That beer was so good.
Malts, El Dorado, etc. Lotus does agree. Will you behave?
Special
I'm
beer.
Fucking producer, you are. Anyway, it's excellent. It's really refreshing. Perfect first drink. And just another reminder, if it was ever needed, that like you say, Gav, Powder Monkey are a revelation. What a start to discover them properly in 2024. If the rest of the people we uncover this year are like that, we're only a winner.
Oh, 100%. Literally, in fact, shout out to Alex from Bayonet, and we'll mention Bayonet later on in the podcast, but he was the one that put us onto them and suggested that we get in touch with the guys and sample some of their beer, and fucking hell, he was spot on with that. He's just had a collaboration.
There he is. Why do we need Mark when you've got a beard like that in standby waiting to come
get
on?
Look at
OT.
That. OT for the winner. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see him.
He is.
Good lad. He's like, what the fuck is going on? I myself have just finished a Powder Monkey beer. And it's the same one you just had, Gilroy, the Vienna Pale. Fucking smashable.
That style is such a revelation. Like, I mean, that was, you know, we spoke about it last week, and the only other brewery that we can find that's done something similar has been Pilot, but yeah. You know, that style, that, you know, to make the pale almost entirely with Vienna malt, that body for 4%, it just, what a beer that was, man. What a beer.
Citra, El Duradu in there, it's just, oh, man. And like you said, Cal, for 4.6%, it's a ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I moved on from that onto one of my bruiser beers, and it's the brewery that I've been waxing lyrical, and they were my pick of the year, or to like kind of finish you on a high and be one of the big boys. Mackie Mackie.
Shadow Monkey.
Down in Portsmouth, having their little loon, a small sour IPA. So Idaho 7, Talis, Simcoe. So it's a mixture of styles. You do get that IPA, but you do also get that sourness, that tartness as well, but it's also nice and fresh, nice and zippy. So it's a nice little mix. Also, benefit and fucking a tick is 550ml cans.
550ml?
Oh no, 500, sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Gav can't read, it's okay.
I genuinely think I need specs, not even a word of a lie. 500ml can, so basically a pint can, and it's fucking tremendous, really nice. I had one bad beer out of the box so far, which is fine. Like, it happens. You get shit beers now and again. And I still stand by it at the moment, because every beer's been incredible, apart from that one. So I still stand by my pick that these guys will be top of the list by the time we finish the year. So Mackie Mackie, keep your eye out for those. Right, as you mentioned, no guest on the podcast tonight. Good time to go back and look back over the last 4 or 5 weeks where we've had some phenomenal guests. Like Callum said, Budvar, Forest Road, Bruiser guys came on, Powder Monkey. I think each to their own added something to the podcast. And if we go back to talking to Budvar, that was just, that is for me, was one of the best ways to kick off the year with an unexpected guest. Maybe a guest that not everyone would expect us to go for. They think they maybe a bit macro and stuff. But fucking hell, those beers are just ridiculous. And like you said, Cal, when you get it for that price at a Home Bargains, fucking yes, please.
Very good. Very good.
It's just proof if it was needed that scale doesn't necessarily need to be doesn't necessarily need to detract from tradition, yeah, and expertise and quality of final product.
My biggest thing that I took away from that was I didn't realise until researching before we did the podcast, one, they're state-owned. Two, that as well, they do genuinely lager their beer for like 3 months, which is just insane. And it comes through in the product. It's one of those things where you see it on the shelf, and I've been a victim of it as well, in thinking that Budweiser was just a fancy Budweiser. But digging into it, they're two separate fucking companies. Just so happens they have the same name. So that was super interesting. Forest Road Brewing as well. That was that was almost, dare I say it, Hodge level of storytelling, which was fucking hilarious. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat. It was in the brink of Hodginess without the whiskey.
Which probably isn't a bad thing, to be fair.
It's probably not a bad thing at all. But looking forward to going up. I promised I will go up to one of the bars and sample the posh beer direct, so I'm looking forward to that. We also had Alex and Ollie on from Bruiser, catching up with those guys with their investment and their crowdfunding, which they have now hit their target. So good luck to those guys. I'm sure that's going to boost them onto bigger and better things. I mean, talking about that, from that conversation we had with them, did it clarify for you why they're doing it, Gil, and like maybe think that, okay, right, there's a reason why we got behind this, and that's solidified by them taking this venture on, doing a bit of crowdfunding and try to gain some investment?
Good. Good stuff. Getting crowdfunding. Crowdfunding's good when it's done properly.
That's potentially the least listened to question. I'm quite happy.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a bit of a strange one when you first seen, you know, the headline or the story on social media, and thinking to yourself, you know, well, what is it that you're looking for? Because it's not immediately apparent. You know, you don't need investment for new brewing equipment or warehouse space or you know that kind of thing. So, but speaking to the guys and having the chats around, you know, expanding the team and you know, investing in technology, trying to make the service better and slicker and offer a greater variety and things like that. You can see where it's going. And it's equity as opposed to vouchers.
Which
I think is a good thing for me anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that might, you know, that might not be the case for everyone. And if that's, you know, if you're quite happy to hand money over with the promise of a voucher plus a wee bit extra, then, you know, that's
Alright, it's a funny one. It was, like you said, I agree with that. It was a funny one when I first seen it. But talking to the guys, it makes sense. In fairness, we did kind of get stuck in to try and get to the bones of it and challenge them on the DRS stuff and Brexit, etc. Because all those things are 100% going to be challenges, we know from talking to other breweries. So hats off to the guys, looking forward to that. And then obviously last week's guest, which we've mentioned already a couple of times on this episode, which I can safely say I'm probably going to have a big... when we get to the Fridges Awards at the end of the year, I'm pretty sure they're going to be involved in a couple of the categories, shall we say, because those beers were, one, ridiculous, and hats off because they sent us a shit ton of beer. I even messaged them and went, did you mean to send this much beer? Because it's just insane. And every single one has been an absolute smash. The Westies, by the way, you do not believe how fucking good those West Coast beers are, even the low ABV one. I think that the standout one, two standouts for me was Voyage and the collaboration Westie with Sheep and Wolves Clothing. Those two were fucking tremendous. Gil, you had that one the other night as well, didn't you?
Yeah, tremendous.
I've still not had the dipper yet. It's sitting in the fridge. I've not had it yet.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. Very smooth. So easy to drink. And flavorful, and exactly what a double IPA is supposed to be. It's supposed to be super oomph, but it is, and it was, but without being too boozy or too sickly or too anything. It was just incredibly well balanced.
Just a perfect example of the style.
Yeah, definitely.
Literally, and one of the smoothest beers I've ever tasted in my life, genuinely.
And speaking of perfect examples of the style, just to digress away from Powder Monkey ever so slightly, I had a beer at the weekend by Fell Brewery.
Yes.
Kindly gifted by our good friend Hugh Price. With him not being a stout drinker, he gave me a can of their export stout. And oh my goodness, this beer, 6.5%. It was, I think. 6.8 actually. But this was like a proper, you poured it, was like a proper fadoomf when it went into the glass. And, you know, proper amber head. And it was so thick and creamy. And, oh, what a beer this was, guys, honestly. And I've forgotten how good Fell were. You know, they're not a brewery that we tend to get too much of up here. But yeah, licorice, malty sweetness, dried fruits, absolutely brilliant beer. Brilliant beer.
I weirdly just associate Fell with TV services. That's I just associate that brew with TV services because every time I stop there, that's all you see. Best services in the world, FYI. No, it sounds amazing. Sounds awesome, mate. I mentioned there in the quick little intro, top 10 bitches. I received an email today saying we were a part. I don't know why it's 45. It seems like a weird number. Anyway, the top 45 beer podcasts. And this is across America, UK, worldwide. Apparently, we're number 9. Would you believe? Because I didn't believe it. How legit is the website? No idea, but I'll take it.
Don't care.
I'm taking it. So yes,
I put a request out on the dark web. So it's obviously somebody from Kyrgyzstan's stepped in and built this website. They've put us in at 9 just to sort of inflate the ego ever so slightly, but not quite.
Apparently, we do a podcast every day. Apparently.
I was going to say something needs to change that.
That's not from our side. That's their side. But
everybody else seemed to vary and assume how they want it because it was like 3 podcasts a month and this, that, and the next thing. Yeah. So I don't know how they've managed to come upon that we do one a day. But that's
And you know what? I think I know what it is actually.
Maybe they've just looked at the.
No,
looked at the total number on our back catalogue and thought, surely we've been doing this every week for 5 years. They must do it every day.
I've just remembered I switched away from Podbean like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Might be that. And 300 episodes just transferred over. Could be that. Anyway. Alright, so top 10. 9 in the world. The good beer hunting, I think, from America is number 1. Fair enough. In fact, most of the top ten beer ones were in America. Fair play. They've got some of the best beer in the world. Doesn't surprise me. But I'll take number 9. Thank you very much.
You know what they're like for fucking stats and data and all that shit. You can't really talk about anything fun.
I know. Exactly. And that's all because of you guys that listen to the podcast, that watch the podcast and follow us on social media. That's you guys that have done that. And it genuinely blows my mind. And
people who watch this podcast on YouTube are they the same folk that like watching videos of folk bursting spots?
Was it Pimple Doctor?
Pimple Doctor Pimple Popper.
Aye.
That's the one.
Or folk that watch videos of ingrown toenails getting cut
out. Oh. Funny thing is, I watched one other day on TikTok. Right then, let's mention, like I said, we're a top 10 podcast, and one of those things that we do in the podcast, which I previously mentioned at the start here, is the Fridges Awards. If you remember, and we've mentioned it pretty much every fucking week, Bayonet won the last year's Brewery of the Year, People's Choice Brewery of the Year, excuse me, and he brewed a beer to celebrate that. Pays to be a winner was the beer. It was a double IPA. I bought some and I kindly added an extra one. The last one I'm not even going to touch it. It's in my cupboard right at the back, no touching it ever, just to keep the can. I don't care if it goes out there, couldn't care less. And we briefly mentioned it, but I think we need to talk about it a wee bit more because it was a fucking good dipper. Like, not even joking, it's actually a really good beer. And all the feedback that has been on Untappd and has went through social media on Instagram and stuff, somebody tagged it yesterday that just had the beer and gave it a really good review. It's fucking brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Alex, once again, smashes it out of the park.
Yep, it was brilliant. I mean, it's Citra and Nelson, so relatively simple combination, but bags and bags and bags of flavour from those two hops. You know, the sort of lemony bitterness that Citra brings to the table combined with that Chardonnay, white wine vibes in absolute spades. But also the body to go along with it,
yeah.
I thought was really, really good. You know, oftentimes you find Nelson in lighter beers, you know, which you might expect, like with that kind of spritzy, white winey type characteristic that it's got, it might maybe get lost in amongst a big beefy beer like this. But
yeah.
I think leaving it in there just with Citra to chum a long way, I think it's been absolutely spectacular. Really was brilliant.
It's been an absolute smash. Like I said, the feedback on social media has been really good. I'm just vigorously trying to find the one. Yes, it is. Ever the Hoptimist had it yesterday and
nice.
Gave us a mention. That's cheers for that. And just said this hazy dipper is chock full of earthy gooseberry and grape skin goodness. Superb body, nice and thick, very creamy, super enjoyable. Smashing beer. Fucking.
Yeah, it's almost as if we ken what we're doing when we're talking about beer, eh?
Ken. Almost. Almost.
Almost. Can I talk about beer? For a very brief second. Well, just because I've earned this and can get there before I drink it all. So I got some beers courtesy of a gentleman in the past who got me a birthday voucher. I got some beers from Omnipollo, from the beer merchant.
Nice.
They were the only way I can live through the beer merchant's website is to filter by new and pick whatever that is in the first page. Because if you didn't do that, you're on the heightened to nothing. So I did that and picked up some three or four Omnipollo beers. This one is called Black is Beautiful, Volume 2. It is brewed in support of the National Black Brewers Association in Sweden, which proceeds will go to the development and growth of black brewers, wordmark designed by Trey Seals, enthusiastically crafted at our church brewery in Sweden. It's a 7% hazy IPA, incredibly hazy, and it's absolutely beautiful. Just an incredible beer. Omnipollo, like obviously known for making some cracking beers, and this one's like
limey colour.
It's cracking.
It looks like limeade.
Hmm.
It's lovely. I don't know, there isn't any indication of hops, but it's brewed in collaboration with the National Black Brewers Association in Sweden, so that's awesome. And that's cool. Understated, but really cool. And good on Omnipollo. Beer's brilliant.
They're one of those breweries, aren't they, that you know, you don't often get a chance to sample.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to a beer merchant's or something like that. You know, there's a list of, you know, like you say, Omnipollo, Stigbergets, you know, all these kind of Nordic, Eastern Europe, Baltic sort of breweries. That's the best place for us to get them, really, isn't it? So,
But like I said, it was a voucher. It meant I put some pennies towards it, but it was good, well worth it, and like delivered the next again day. So as much as the website could do an overhaul, it's probably just because of the sheer volume of stuff, which shouldn't count against them.
But you're 100% right. I mean, that's how I work the website as well. I mean, exception being the order that I put in at the tail end of last year, I decided to go country and hit Belgium up and you know, probably because Belgian beers get fermented in the bottle, and you know, it doesn't really matter if they're sitting in the bottle for a year or two or whatever, you know, it's not going to really detract from the flavour. So, but yeah, you're 100% right. New is best.
True. Drink hops fresh, as they keep telling us. Have you guys got the Stuart one, or do you want to leave that now?
Give me five.
I've got the Stuart one.
This and then I'll pour it after this.
Cool. That's no worries. We'll get to that in a second. I'll go through it. So I asked our Discord members today to send some random questions. It didn't have to be beer related, and to send them through. And of course, the team on the Discord page came through in strength, as they always do. And if you want to join the team on the Discord page and join along in the the beer chat and get involved with the podcast and what we do here, you can do so as well. Just head to the Discord page. A link to Discord is on our Instagram in the bio. You can click on that and join the Discord
page. Become a fridge magnet.
Become a fridge magnet. John asked this, so this is one of John's random questions. The most unusual place you have found yourself having a beer. Now, I couldn't think, because I've got a funny feeling it's probably when I've been absolute paralytic and cannot, the bones from my legs have probably been stolen and I've blacked out.
Well, that's quite a varied question, because you know, being Scotsman, we tend to take drink wherever we go. So that, you know, that could be extended to pretty much anywhere. If you're talking about the most strange pub or you know, establishment where I've purchased a beer, that's a different question.
But what is the answer to that question?
Oh, I don't know, I'm gonna have to have a think about it.
That was a weirdest place I've got a beer.
It's probably like, oh, I know. Do you remember? I can't remember where it is. There was a nightclub. I don't even know if you were there. I can't bloody remember. So you know,
it must be the Red Stripe vending machine at ABC or something like that, was it?
It might very well be that. I feel like it might be that. But it's also a time when no, you're fine. When you know what it's like when you're at a nightclub and you go to the bathroom, you've got your man there with the music and the cologne and what is it? It's the full fucking
no dupe, no hoop.
No dupe, no hoop. Aye, I know that.
Oh, that's shite. All the drops.
That fucking
Armani gets the funny.
Oh goodness me!
I can't believe you forgot that. Come on,
I can't remember them all. Armani gets the
Christ.
Anyway,
I remember Armani gets the funny. Come on.
Anyway, I don't know why. I bought a bottle of, I can't remember, what it was. It must have been a Budweiser or something. You had a wee mini fridge on the flare.
And oh, you bought toilet beer.
I bought toilet beer.
Toilet beer. Oh,
so no. The thing is, I probably got charged double of what I could have bought it for the bar. Because obviously he would have put his own margin in the tap yet. So, that's
brilliant. No, but I think like circumstance is a big part. Like, I mean, I remember when we Miguel wasn't in, Scott wasn't in this on this trip, but me and Gav and Dixon and Hoosrice went down to Cornwall, and this is a long time ago now. It's about 15 years ago now, and we drove through the night and Mark's clapped out Rover 25 and we arrived in St Ives in Cornwall at 7:30 in the morning, parked the car up, and then we all walked down to the beach and cracked open a can of Tennent's. So that was that beer, you know, after a night of driving and banter in the car with the lads, and get up and go and sit on the beach in Cornwall and basically watch the sun come up and tar a can of Tennent's. It was tremendous. That's one of the most memorable beers of my life.
Tennent's was roasting, but it was fucking good.
Oh, well, I'd been in the car all night, so it was warm, but it didn't matter. You know what I mean? On holiday. Tremendous.
I get memories come up on Facebook, right, of that trip. I don't know what I was thinking with those spec sunglasses that I was wearing. They were like RoboCop sunglasses. And yeah,
it was like a cross between RoboCop and Men in Black.
Yes.
I was going to say, it didn't look like you had just had your cataracts done, did it?
Aye. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it was like fucking Ray Charles.
They were like dead thick around this side and everything. Aye. And obviously, it's like, no.
What was the boy from Star Trek that had the fucking, what was his name?
Oh, I can tell you who he is.
Aye.
And tell you who played him. Was it no thing with Burton?
I don't know.
The guy that's the he's right into all the space and all that.
But aye, the look, it didn't help my look whatsoever, because my lugs are massive, and I'd had my hair shaved to the bone, so lugs are fucking it like Sally dishes. I've got these bad boys on, so aye, you can imagine the look right there. Fucking hell, somebody shoot me.
Good times. Yeah, I'm going to get that food.
You go and get, grab that beer.
Jordi LaForge.
That's it. Jordi. I knew it was Jordi.
Jordi LaForge. Visor. Visual instrument and sight organ replacement. Because he's visor.
Christ. The other question from John. Airport pint. Go to airport beer. Which is kind of a hard question because 90 out of 10 it's going to be macro pish. Or unfortunately, you end up in Brewdog guy.
Because it's better than Spoons. And it's better than All Bar One. Particularly in Edinburgh Airport. Anyway. If you're flying for Edinburgh there, that's the go to is Brewdog normally because you can get a Hazy Jane. I don't mind a Hazy Jane.
No, that's true.
I've also had a couple of good guest beers, although they're becoming less and less frequent. Brew by Numbers normally used to have one in there. Mm-hmm. A wheat beer, as much as Mark tends to corner the market on wheat beers, I quite like an airport wheat beer.
He is the wheat correspondent, isn't he?
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind a wee Blue Moon. It's basically orange juice. So again, whatever time of the day you're having that. It works
because it doesn't matter what time you turn up at the airport. Like you can just go fucking ham. First beer.
No, you can just have a beer immediately.
There are no rules. You must have a beer.
There's literally.
I remember driving to Prestwick for a flight. It was a Ryanair flight
Is that not a dry county?
I was driving to Prestwick for a Ryanair flight to Paris, and went in, and it was 5:30 in the morning. Parked the car, got the bus in through security, 5:30 in the morning, into the tiny wee, departure area in Prestwick, and they were pouring Tennent's Velvet.
Oh no.
Tennent's Velvet, and I had a pint of Tennent's Velvet at 5:30 in the morning. Tremendous.
I had to went in like linoleum.
What we were saying the other week, beer for breakfast, or whatever the fuck it was. Jesus.
Is that beer for breakfast?
Aye,
setting up for the day, lovely.
Aye.
The other one I could definitely have is
John Higgins was on that flight, actually, now that I remember.
Did he have a velvet with you, aye?
I did. They sat and had a velvet with me.
I thought he was more a felt guy, but there you go.
Right.
Such a shite joke. Woo.
Bass is really what you were looking to say instead of felt.
Just bass. John Higgins in the airport, just bass. we've spoken about them earlier. A Budvar at the airport would be.
Oh, a proper poor Budvar, that'd be good.
Aye, Bruhemia, I need to open up an Edinburgh Airport branch. Tank fresh Budvar in the department.
You can have All Bar One.
Incidents of in-flight drunkenness go up by 400% after tank fresh Budvar is unveiled at Edinburgh Airport.
That's
a good question, I like that one.
100.
Even Staropramen would be alright. The other Czech beer. Not national. I know
we've got a super soft spot.
I know. Take them well, but I still like a Staropramen. Just thinking about stuff you could conceivably get in Spoons because of or
oh,
a
you know what I've seen. Like. Fuck, there's a. That just reminded me. Where was I flying to? Mallorca, I think it was. Gatwick. It was from Gatwick. I can't remember the beer, but I was in. So Magic. Again, no, it was again stupid at 1:00 in the morning and going to Pret a Manger for a wee breakfast.
Pret a
Minge.
For a breakfast.
Are you a snob? No, I like the toasted croissant with the cheese and the tomato in it. Fucking, I'm fucking addicted to those fucking things. The fucking
just have ham like everybody else does.
Man,
aye. I could, but
fuck it. I'm lazy bastard.
You need to get back to Scotland and come for fucking rolls and sausage.
I'd fucking kill for that.
Oh, I like my croissant with my cheese and tomato. No, get a rolling square.
Brew, you know what's really bad, actually. You know what's really
bad. Brew.
What's really bad? Obviously, I've got a little one now, right? And she's growing up down here, and I need to take her up, and she needs to stay up the road for at least a month.
Summer.
She, in the morning, she's like, brioche, want a brioche? I'm like, fuck, what have I done? What have
tatties,
I created?
Surely that needs to be swapped for a tatties going pronto.
I know. Mm-hmm. Brioche, I want a brioche. I'm like, oh my fucking God. No. But anyway.
I guess so we'll die.
In Pretamonji, and I can't remember, again, I can't remember. It was Brewing by Numbers, I think it was, or Alphabet Brewing. And they had IPAs and stouts in the fridge, and I'm like, fucking hell. I'm like,
what, in Pretamonji?
Aye, Pretamonji.
Mm-hmm. You get that on your monthly, on your subscription, if you subscribe to Pretamonji?
Maybe. You get a wee 5% discount. The one thing you might get a discount on, and I'll come to that, the beer you've just went and grabbed, Callum, in a second, because I want to get our thoughts and feelings on this, which we've mentioned before on dipping back into the well a couple of times and how we kind of feel about it. Fierce, we love them, and we feel like they're doing fantastic things. They've turned a corner. They're doing another crowdfunder, and this one is focused on going green and sustainability. So they're doing a whole crowdfunder around that. This, correct me if I'm wrong, is the third crowdfunder?
Four? I think so.
I think it's
United.
I was just going to say, folk keep doing it. So folk keep funding them. So why would you not keep?
No, I don't.
Offering it.
You know, props to them. Like,
and they always give it, like, as far as incentives go, I always think the doubling up the shop.
Yeah.
Money is quite a good.
Well, it's not doubling really, is it?
Well,
it's,
whatever they do.
One and a half.
So
one and a half.
If you pledge £100, you'll get £150 and vouchers back.
The people going to subscribe to that are the people who are going onto the web shop and buying beer anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And by no means am I being disparaging at all. I'm just it's a topic of conversation and.
No, it's I think it's a conversation worth having. You know, we should really be getting Fierce on to chat about it and you know, go through the nuts and bolts of what it is that they're trying to achieve by going green. You know, the cynic in you says, is there incentives out there for businesses that are pledging to be green or hitting certain targets? Or, you know, that might be something to consider.
Is it a case of, I know we had the conversation a long time ago saying, oh, like, breweries going back to the well and blah blah blah, but at the same time we know how the things that are going against breweries at the moment, so for them to go, right, fuck it, there's no government funding to help us go green, so let's just fucking try and get it ourselves off our fan base instead of waiting for the government to fucking come up with some bullshit, which, let's be honest, will never help anyway, and it'll fucking never come to fucking fruition because they're fucking useless.
But at the end of the day, if we can make their brewery more efficient and more sustainable, then they're in with more of a fighting chance of keeping the doors open and...
Yeah.
Continuing to brew beer, which, you know, isn't a given, as we know.
I'd much rather have a crowdfunder and then people who are going to buy beer off them anyway get a wee bit, and they get to become more sustainable. It's based all around about sustainable and brewing more environmentally friendly beer. Or in a more environmentally friendly way to produce the same beer. So it's much better to do that than and get money from people who are willing to invest anyway, just in a block to allow you to have the money to go out and spend it, rather than get it in the dribs and drabs that they might normally contribute, or get people to contribute a wee bit more than and I'm getting to the point, I promise, add some sort of creditor being on the list of creditors that they'll no doubt have. They get the money up front. The people who buy the beer get a bit of discount.
Yeah.
They get to spend the money on the thing that they want. They're held accountable by those investors, technically, even although they're customers anyway, who I'm sure would be peeved if they then turned around about and said, well, what we did was we bought three new Jaguars with the environmental money, so they're holding themselves accountable to the people who buy their beer. It's definitely better than having a bank involved or some random investors like we've seen with, what is it, Black Sheep and the other ones who got into a bit of trouble and then got bought out by some, basically somebody who's going to go there and strip them for parts and have them all brew in the same place, probably brewing the same beer with names on it and things like that. It's rather than strip it for parts, they're able to maintain themselves, maintain their site, move a wee bit closer to being more sustainable, more environmentally conscious. I don't see there's a negative with it. Do we get a bit iffy when people continually come out and crowdfund all the time? Would it be worse if there was less incentive there? We maybe moan about it a wee bit more, but it's people, the people who continue to dip their hand in their pocket and go and buy the beer, or go and buy the invest, are people who are going to buy fierce beer anyway. I mean,
I think
see
now
people are loyal to them and go and buy loads, so they'll just get it again, and that's all right.
I think potentially what our gripe the last time may have been is that for us, our feeling of fierce was they were very meh at that time and they weren't exciting us. But I feel like now we've spoken to them, and not even since we've spoken to them, we had these feelings before that they turned a corner, they were producing some really good beers, really nice beers, and the core range was developing, and it was a decent core range and not just like putting stuff on core just for the hell of it. And I think they've come up against the questions maybe that we've presented them and said, and they've answered them and they've came through it and they've turned that corner. And I agree, like, there's, if you're crowdfunding to go and try and be a greener company and more sustainable, then I don't see any reason why you shouldn't.
It just invites everybody to go and splash the cast we've probably done our 2 or 3 months, but in a one-off.
Yeah,
just it just gives that the new so we can have it on our balance sheet so we can go and buy it.
Yeah,
and just it's
hopefully they don't all cash it in at the one time. And
yeah, you know. So they're offering it's the same as what they've done before, bar credit, online credit, and stuff. And like I said, it's 1.5 times what you pledge, and you can use it at the bars and like I said on the online store. It's still live as we speak at the moment. There's 23 days left, but by the time you listen to this, maybe 22 or maybe even less. You can go over to their Instagram page and click on the link. Their target is 100,000. They're on 73 at the moment. I would be surprised if they don't get there, to be honest.
I think for me the thing is, I want something tangible. For the brewery at the other side. Do you know, like you say, if there's a clear goal of, we want to be more sustainable, blah, blah, blah. So after off the back of this crowdfund, if they can say, oh, well, we're now able to, you know, repurpose all the CO2 in our site or whatever it is, you know. If they can come back and say, this is what we've achieved with the money that you pledged, then go for it.
Exactly, and same as what like Stuart are doing, becoming more sustainable, more green, and being in control of every aspect of the brewing. They're brewing. Let's be honest. There can only mean good things if you're fully in control of some. So hats off to them. I know that might have started off sounding like it was going to be negative, but look forward to seeing. And fingers crossed they get the crowdfund, because they have turned a corner. They're making some really good beers. I think the last one that we all had was in that pub where I got absolutely smashed and had some...
Phantasm.
Phantasm, that's the one. Thank you.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. With the thiols in it.
Yes, the thiols. Can't remember it. And
it's like thiols.
Paralysed after it. On the mention of Stuart, Again, it's these things when we always have a guest on the podcast that we don't always get time to kind of bring up and chat about. But we were amazingly and kindly gifted some beers, new beers from Stuart and their Project Seven range, which is always a tippity top of the mountaintop for Stuart. And we got Under and Over, an oat cream IPA, which is brewed in collaboration with Goodland, a brewery over in Australia. 6.5% oat cream IPA. Callum, you're drinking it right this very second. Thoughts, feelings?
I am, yeah.
Questions, comments?
I got sent three cans, which was amazing. Thank you very much for that. But I had, I know.
Raging.
I also got three cans.
I had one, it must have been about 2 weeks ago now, and I was in the middle of the cold, and I felt as though it was just a bit, I was kind of a bit reluctant to talk about it on the podcast, but I've opened this tonight, and wow, now that my taste buds are more human, it's absolutely tremendous. Slight black mark against Stuart. You make such a big thing about talking around a blend of UK and Australian hops. Tell me what the hops are. Tell me what's in it so that I can do my research and learn. But yeah, so it's a blend of UK and Australian hops. And just as it says on the can, mangoes, passion fruits, grapefruits, that kind of tropical quote-unquote juice bomb. But the aroma is there. It's tremendous. It's been fermented with Kvik yeast as well, which really complements the tropical hop flavours. Kvik and tropical really go hand in hand. And the fact that it's 6.5% and the fact that it's got oats and lactose in, it really beefs up that body. But for me, it doesn't come across as overly sweet.
No.
Which lactose involved beers tend to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's enough sort of citrus bitterness, that kind of orange peel, citrus rind bitterness to cut that sweetness off.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It really is lovely.
I thought it was cracking.
You could have two or three quite comfortably. Years have disappeared, but I've managed to keep mine for an evening when we actually do talk about it. But
Scott's
going to pour one of his shortly, and he can give his top and swap as well.
I had one, and
I was going to see if I could discover what hops were in it.
Aye, I did furious Google as well.
Is it not on Untappd now?
No, it's undiscoverable.
Undiscoverable. So my taste of it was instant. As soon as you crack the can open, like the aroma of the beer, that mango and passion fruit just smacks you right in the face as soon as you open the beer. Beers like that do that are fucking. I love that about a beer that just
it's
goes.
Addictive.
Oh, fuck.
It's addictive.
Boom. Bash. There you go. Punch you right in the face. Fucking. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I love it.
The can art as well is pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
We've kind of thrown a little bit of shade on Stuart's rebranded can art. Over the last couple of years, but this one, as with all the Project 7, not only do they brew their best ideas in beer, but they also
they get
commission an artist for each can, and it's kind of like a pastel sort of tartan affair with different colours, and it's really really cracking, and it's who is it? It's Lucy oh what a name Lucy Kreckelberg. So shout out to Lucy for a fantastic can as well, really really cracking. If you get a chance to get a hold of some of this Project 7 beer, please do so.
No, I do so. I mean, my notes carried on to say that mango and passion fruit carried through the beer, elevated by what can only be described a funkiness, which I assumed was from the Kvik yeast. Not overly funky, but a slight funkiness. And then it was finished off with a lovely bit of kind of orange bitterness, which I thought it was really good. But the only bit, I just maybe wanted a wee bit more body from it, but what I found was that actually the warmer the beer got, the more body I got from the beer. So I had the first beer and it was fucking icy cold. So it was thinner than what I was expecting, but I found that if you just let it sit for a bit and warm up, that body just really thickened up. And especially,
but I think it does itself a favour by saying that it's just an IPA. You know, it's not a double. It's no, you know, it's and it's 6.5% as well. I mean, I think it's got a decent body for that. I was chuffed.
I thoroughly enjoyed it,
definitely.
Right, cracking beer. We'll get Gilroy's opinion when he cracks it open. Talk about rebranding. Last time we had a group discussion, or since the last time we had a group discussion, the old 71 Bruin had a wee rebrand. Thoughts, feelings, questions? Do we like?
As they furiously Googles 71 Bruin's rebranding.
Alright, so they've kind of went with a more sleek, modern design. It's, if you look in the group chat, it'll be in there. I've screenshotted it. I like it. I think it makes it a bit more modern, slicker.
Their website isn't optimized for iPhones.
Oh, that's not very good. Because I was never a massive fan of that was the logo and then like letters beside it. So the lager, it had the 71 logo and then beside it said LGR, and then with the hazy halo it had HZ. Like it was like you're standing at a fucking airport looking for your fucking flight HZ fucking LGR 29 flying to fucking Budapest.
I quite liked that.
I'm looking at it now. I don't think it's that bad.
See the lager we got, the black lager.
Yes.
Was the original 71, and I thought can was brilliant. I thought that kind of branding really stood out.
I like the new stuff. I think it looks good.
I can't find it.
I think it looks good.
Is it that new?
No, I've sent you a screenshot. I'll send you another one in a while. So you can have a look. I think it's all right. I mean, do I think it was needed? I don't know. Maybe they just need to freshen up. It's probably that same thing with this fucking discussions we're having about doing potentially rebranding this.
Thanks, God.
And doing different logos.
71.
Hopefully, down here, I'm not going to be able to read that.
Ooh, straight in with a jab.
Right in there. I like it. I like the fact that
there's mere guff on the front.
Yes, exactly what you stole it right from my tip of my tongue there. I like the short, snappy little, right, so Luminous Nights, hoppy.
That's bottle shop friendly.
Yes.
Yes.
And it is bottle shop friendly because it's right on the label.
More information on the can is definitely a win.
Don't need to turn it. Still got room for quite cool artwork. I quite like the diagonal stripe. I like the bright colours. I'm not into the spelling it out.
I'll agree with you.
Just have a 7 and a 1, please.
In
the world of text messages, X posts, and other things that limit characters, 71 X.
No, I agree with that statement, actually. I think you should.
What I didn't like about the only bit I would have said against the whole having the logo and then the two letters next to it is that it made the 71 less prominent, whereas you would expect the 71 to be smack bang in the middle. It kind of offset it all the time. But it was distinctive, and you could see it in a supermarket.
I agree that that might be what my issue is with it. If it was maybe like the 71 at the top and then the letters underneath, then maybe. Like aesthetically, it would have been different. Because the logo,
the only thing I'm thinking now that you're talking about, I'm just thinking about spelling the thing with it. I much prefer Aye, there you go. I much prefer the
Man, I like
76ers.
that.
Looking at the 76ers sports team.
Yeah.
I like this. I like the Sixers.
Yeah.
Spelt it. Not that you would do it with 71. I'm just thinking about other arenas where the change from the actual numbers to the words has made a difference, has been positive. But nah, it's not for that bit's not for me. Like everyone else about it, I like all the stuff with the cans and that, and the bit of the refresh there. I think it looks cool. And it gives you a wee chance to put some artwork on there by different artists, depending on the beer you're brewing, and then but it keeps things nice and samey, so your special stuff can be special but still fit in with the rest of the branding.
Yeah.
You've got all your other beers, you can kind of do a black can or however it is you want to do it for your seasonal specials. So it's quite cool, but I'm not a spell your numbers it guy.
No, I agree with that, actually. I agree with you in that.
And you'd be nearly as bad as changing it to Roman numerals.
that is very, very, very true.
VII. What would that be? VII. VII space I.
VII space I. No, you're right. VII space I. Yeah.
Two after five, and then.
No, that would look horrendous. Are you? Did you get the 71 beer? 71. Fuck. Stuart, go.
Well, I've got it next to me. I can get one. I've just finished that lovely. No, lovely don't, no, pack is beautiful
no,
beer.
No need to rush because a couple other things I want to.
That's what you call peer pressure.
No, but drink responsibly, Scott. Prince William was drinking responsibly as well. You may have seen the reel that he was put up.
Pouring responsibly.
Aye. Apparently, a fucking shit ton of people have seen that reel I put up on the old Grammaroo.
Holy moly, what's the total at the moment, Gavin?
That is only because conspiratorially they were looking to see if a certain someone was also spotted in the pub, who's not been spotted for quite some time.
He's apparently in a coma.
There's plenty of rumours kicking about that.
She was behind the camera tanning a blue wicker. She was
I'm pretty sure the rumours are pretty strong that she could be in the same place as David Miscavige's wife. The guy who runs Scientology. That's at that kind of level.
It's been viewed 6,247 times. Would you believe? So it was a Sky News report which I popped up on my TikTok feed, and it's Prince William in visiting Wrexham in a bar in Wrexham. And he asked the question,
like some lager or anything like that there, you know what I mean?
Which every person who walks into a bar should ask.
Exactly.
This is not against him whatsoever.
No, he goes, did absolutely the right thing.
He did. What's the local beer? To which the guy who runs the bar, or was serving at the time, goes...
Madry's a good pint.
Goes, Madry... It's Spanish, but it's brewed 30 miles away. This is he's in Wrexham in Wales.
It's just the speed with which he gets it out there. It's absolutely superb.
To be fair to the guy behind the bar, I mean, it's a Marsden's pub, so he's got no control whatsoever about what's on his gantry and what's getting poured in his pub. He gets told, you know, these are the pints that you're pouring. So, I mean, I think to answer the question like that was phenomenal. To answer it so quickly and say, "Oh well, aye, that's Spanish," but it's never seen, you know, it's never seen so much as a fucking paella in its life.
Right, it's never even been to Benidorm holiday.
Exactly. Fucking Santa Ponza, where you go.
Which was just
very funny.
It's
the speed. It's the speed with which he gets it out, and the. Like, I don't know whether he hears it or not. I don't know whether he comprehends it. I don't think he mentions it, obviously, but it's whether what I would like to find out later on is, did you comprehend what this boy tell you? As in, here's a Spanish beer, but it's brewed 30 miles away.
Let me see.
It's never seen Spain.
I don't know. Oh, shit. Please let me know if this comes through bad or doesn't come through at all. But this... It might not fucking happen, but this is the conversation. If you haven't seen it, go on Instagram, but I'll try and see if this plays properly that you can hear it.
What's the most local? What's the good? Ooh, Madry's Spanish, but it's brewed about 30 miles away. Madry's very, very popular, which is
it? It's very, very popular, is it?
Yeah,
is
very, very popular. They brew 4 million pints a day, so they can sell it for 33 pence a fucking pint. Meanwhile, we've got Magic Dragon brewing, fucking jumping up and down in Wrexham, you know, 500 yards away from the pub that was probably fucking filmed it, saying,
well, you've got, you, and even if you go slightly more macro in Wales, you've got Brains,
yeah.
You've got Wrexham Lager, who are pretty well involved with
so
people
this is,
like...
So, bingo, right, so that is fucking excellent, so... I messaged Magic Dragon after I put that up and went, have a word. And then the message back going, you'd never guess that's a Marston's pub. Not even Wrexham Lager, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show the fucking stranglehold that breweries and big companies have on the Great British Pub. I mean, the Great British Pub is... a fucking the cornerstone of our society, mm-hmm. and has been for fucking centuries,
and it gets, you know, wrecked by and fucking
it numpties. Gets wrecked by the fact that I can go a quarter of a mile down the road and get a pint of fucking Madry. Fuck off.
No. Well, it's well, also ruined by the fact that you can. Well, look at you having to buy, definitely. You should. It should be local beer, and you should the people who run the pub should people. Have the choice. Well, they should have the choice of where they buy it for. There shouldn't be any of that nonsense with the right. breweries running the pub, because it just ruins it. Because it means that
it does. It spoils it.
It means that, you know, that places like Edinburgh, with umpteen breweries that are local and breweries that shut. I mean, look at, and it's probably not a great example because it's, well, that's a good example. Look at William Younger's. Brewery.
Yeah.
William Younger's brewery would have serviced every pub in Edinburgh one time. Mm. And if it wasn't there, it would have been the place in Gorgie that would have filled the pub. I mean, look at places like Diggers and places and things like that, who probably haven't got anywhere near the same clout as what they used to. And I'm not saying Diggers obviously has a lot of nostalgia and stuff behind it, but if you look at the gantry and the pumps and stuff that are on, it's not the same lineup. It's not got the same draw, because you were going there to have, and you were having it just goes to, because it was the best.
It just goes to show how a rewire is fucking required on how you think about beer. Do you know?
Definitely.
This whole fucking expectation that I should be able to walk into a pub anywhere in the UK or Europe.
And drink the same Fosters that I drink.
A pint of Fosters, a pint of Guinness, a pint of Madry, a pint of Stella. You know, fuck off.
Why would you go to
Edinburgh? If I'm going to Edinburgh, I want to drink. What do I drink? Tell me. Tell me.
Surely that's,
you know.
That's the beauty, and that's the thing that people and we love and people love before going and finding new bars and when you travel the world and travel, even just in the UK, go from Glasgow to Edinburgh, new city. Like when we went to Bristol.
I should be able to go for east to west in Scotland and go in and say, oh, well, you know, when I'm through by at my local pub, I drink this. What's
the equivalent?
What have you got that's kind of similar, or mm-hmm. what would you recommend? And the barman says, oh, well, we've got this, or this. Mm-hmm. You know, no, just a pint of Tennent's, a pint of fucking Madry, pint of Heineken, pint of fuck off, yeah. man.
Some of the comments...
It's just so big.
Sorry, okay.
It's just such a big... It's just a huge problem, sorry. It's just that... You, like, how many people, like... Take Dublin, right, for example, because yeah. and their brewery's probably the biggest culprit, because you can get it anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who in the right, look at the size of the place recently that they've opened. If you haven't had the chance to look at it yet, go and have a look at it, because it's some bit of kit. Look at the bit in, and you'll get this, the bit in Chicago that Guinness have just opened in Chicago. It's absolutely massive. It makes mm-hmm. the storeroom look like a joke, makes it look kid on. And how many different breweries in Chicago are there that probably brew a half decent stout? Exports, you know what I mean? Probably just as lovely, like
Campervan and Campervan are the fucking they prove it. They prove it. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody can do a small scale, small batch.
Hands back and Hobday. Yeah, Hobday. You've got loads.
You know, the fucking.
Just Nigel. Anybody can do a Nigel Stout. It doesn't need to be them, but all of a sudden, Big Arthur gets his and the big gets conglomerate his big behind him.
Tear in the fucking door.
Well, the big man at Diageo. You might need to edit that. The big man at Diageo gets his mitts in, and then all of a sudden, it's fucking. All of a sudden, we're opening a new storehouse in Chicago of all exactly. places. You know, it just doesn't exactly. make any sense. Mm-hmm. But I guess what we're saying is that it's got to be led by the drinker. It also doesn't help that we bandied the fact that you can nick into Home Bargains and get a bottle of Bud Bar for £1.69. That is also part of the bottle. Problem. I know.
That's bottles.
Right. But there is a place for both.
If it was up to me, it would be, yeah. If you want to package your beer and distribute it yourself, you know, to online customers, to shops, to whatever, if you want to do that, then that's fine. But if you're kegging your beer for sale as a pint in a pub, you can only do that within a certain radius yeah. of your brewery. That's the way that it should be.
Some of the comments on that video are fucking hilarious as well. There's three that I'll read out because they're funny. Madry Spanish, William asks a good question and gets a terrible answer. Correct. From Girl Drinks Guinness, who's been on the podcast.
Yes.
Can't stand Madry. It's just Carlin with a red badge. True. Very true.
That's exactly what I mean. And we found that out, didn't we, a few weeks back?
Yeah. My favourite comment, Madry is a Yank pretending to be Carlin, a.k.a. Rat Piss, with a moustache telling you he's Spanish. Awful. And every comment is absolutely fucking spot on. It's a joke. I completely agree and echo your comments, Callum. Like, we're getting to a point now with brewing here in the UK where it's just getting daft and you seem to lose that localness and you should be able to travel 30 miles, an hour, 2 hours down the road, find a pub and get a different beer to where you were before, or your local bar, or at least find a local beer. There's nothing more exciting than finding a new local beer, even if it is not very good, but fuck. I mean, when I moved down here, I found a ton of local stuff. Still drink it, still enjoy it. I've got a brewery which, Gilroy, you've been in the tap room, an award-winning tap room, or nominated award-winning tap room, in form of Gun. They're
just
tremendous beers. Tap room is excellent, and yeah, like champion local. Like if you've got something on your doorstep, fucking, they will appreciate you more than the big boys will. In fact, the big boys will just take your money and fucking fuck you.
Aye, couldn't care less.
That went dark. Oh, dear.
You crowdfund the shit out of your local brewery than even think about having a pint of Madry.
In fact, incidentally, the next time you're doing Gilroy, you'll see since we were there, they did a crowdfunder. Gun did.
See, Gun's lying all over the place.
AKA's everywhere.
It's Grand Theft Auto.
Big solar panels, new outdoor space. Place is looking fucking superb. Elevated it to a new level. Right, last thing. Oh, two things. One of those.
They made it so that it is one of the things they crowdfunded a weather changer so it never ever pisses the rain there.
That's fucking.
Because that was, honestly, it was calm. It was like like the tropical rainforest.
Biblical,
aye. Aye, or a total monsoon. I mean, it's the only place, like, literally, the burger bar that we went to that was on site was like two steps out the door. Within two steps, your chips are soggy.
Mm. Aye, soaked to your pants.
It's like you had canoed with them into the pub.
And that fucking same day, we end up going to Beacon, and we turned up at Beacon, the sun was splitting the fucking trees.
Aye, sun was splitting the trees, so changeable. A bit like Scotland.
That's how we like it.
Terrible.
Before I get to my last Discord question from James, it's to find out from Scott his thoughts on the Stuart beer.
It's not even opened it yet.
I have. I don't know what you're just talking about. Nah, it's lovely. Oat cream with the lactose and the additional oats isn't normally my style, but I agree with what Callum said. It's not too sweet, which is something that often bugs me about this particular style.
Most of the time,
because it tastes like you've put, and those that don't or have through partners being warded off real sugar for whatever reason in your tea, it's like the first time you have tea with two sweeteners in it as opposed to
Splendor. Sugar.
it's just not the same, but you capitulate it.
Sprinkle it on your Vitamix and it goes all foamy and
that. I'm not into the granule. I couldn't granule. No, granules are awful. No, massive.
Granulated sweetener. You've never known such a despairing fucking moment in your life when you're sprinkling granulated sweetener on your Vitamix in the morning.
Absolutely never. No, just stop eating Weetabix. What was your favourite cereal before you met your partner? Weetabix with two sugars on top of it. What is it now? Again, bran flakes.
Frosties.
What I nowadays just buy sawdust. I just buy sawdust. I sawdust to pets at home and put skim milk on it. It's the same thing. It's like the addition of lactose often has me having that clawing, sickly sweetness, and this doesn't have that. It's quite well balanced, and I know I've used the term balanced umpteen times. It seems to be my buzzword recently.
Mm.
Also echoes Callum's sentiments that I'm a bit peeved about the no naming the hops. But I get what it's trying to deliver. You can tell it's tropical. The Kvik gets to shine, which obviously they've taken the time to mention by name. Which I love the Kvik yeast for me. It not only helps the brewer out, but I think it adds something particularly special and probably does quite a wee bit in terms of that, I would like to think anyway, in terms of that balancing act.
Yeah.
For not making it too sweet, because it's got no funk to it, because that's not the right way to describe that. It's it's just a bit of depth of flavour, I think, the yeast gives it, which is...
it's probably the better way to describe that.
It just makes it a bit more, not challenging either, just a bit more diverse in terms of a flavour profile, which really helps the oat cream it. And it's really fruity, really tropical and very Moorish.
I just tried to see if it was on... It is on Untappd, but it doesn't...
It doesn't give you the hops yet. Maybe we'll get the inside scoop on what the hops are called.
Yeah, I'll give the team a shout. Thoroughly enjoying it.
The only tropical or New Zealand Australasian hop I remember having at Stuart because we used it was Rakow, because I made sure to put it in Mark's wedding beers because it was there. I was like, that smell.
That, get that in there.
It was like opening a jar of chocolate nibs. That's when they basically had them in. It was like sweetie shop jars at the craft beer kitchen at that time, and it was like,
that's right.
That's and that needs to go in everything all the time. Good. Really good.
Hats off to Stuart. Like we've said previously, if you want to grab yourself one of those beers, we recommend you do so. Head over to Stuart's Brewing website and grab some today.
If you're in the Edinburgh like Lonehead area, you've got to go and try. We've said it 18 times. Go and try the pizza. Go and have beers at the tap, and then get a growler fill in a few cans while you're there.
100%. Definitely go and visit.
It's a great space.
Fantastic space. We'll finish off with one more Discord question. I think I'm going to do these every time. It's just us. I'll open up some Discord questions.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Good, because it saves us trying to figure out what Discord is.
Yes, it fucking does. Is that
AI? Is it AI?
Aye. No.
Aye.
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 Long time listener and Patreon member and Discord member. James.
Groupie, I think, is maybe
groupie,
the right
one. Groupie probably is a more fit.
It's unhealthy. Like, I'm sure I've seen him.
He's going to ask you for a signature. Not a
I'm sure I seen him in the street the other day.
We love you, James.
We do love you indeed. Favorite non beer alcoholic drink. So for him,
well, I can tell you. Can I tell you Callum's when we get to it? I'll tell you Callum's.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. So James has been recently enjoying some cracking rum. Not cracking rum as in fucking this is the bollocks. It's cracking. Ice hockey fucking reference, if you know it, who it is. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to deep dive into that. Cracking rum.
The Seattle cracking, oh, baby. Seattle the Blues are calling.
Yeah. I know you know. Fucking.
Good team.
There's about five people that listen to this who are like, what? And vanilla absolute vodka. So he's having the cherry or chocolate. Yeah. Rum and absolute vodka at the same time. So that has been his tipple.
So that's alcohol and alcohol. Is there a mixer in there, James?
Fucking bosh bosh.
What does it does he just call that lift off?
Right, fucking or calls
bedtime.
It fucking coma. Is what I'd call it.
Right, I'll tell you Callum's.
Go on then.
Go on then.
Because he also mixes two alcohols together on a regular basis. I would say, unless he's went off it recently, in which case I'm peeved because I've got two bottles of the stuff lying there, it's not still had one yet, is gin and Dubonnet. Would have said would have been a top cocktail from the summer.
For the win, yes.
Because he has a 1920s jilted house.
Dubonnet is a fortified wine, about 15%, mixed with your gin of choice, over ice with a slice of orange.
One set of modest pearls and one large bowl of pot pourri available on your living room coffee table.
This is an easy question to answer for me. One, don't do spirits, don't do any other alcoholic drinks.
Absolute
however,
lies, you're a whiskey man.
Whiskey literally puts me in a coma. The only thing I will drink.
Unless it hurt.
No, right. It nearly did, probably.
Come on, you've got a bacon double cheeseburger with it, so.
Exactly, check your pole. The only other thing I'll have occasionally to keep myself tip-top condition and my fucking pishness is occasionally have a vodka Red Bull. That's my whack.
Wow.
And I know that's horrendous, but I...
Mind when Mark used to say that he could avoid a hangover if he had a Jaeger bomb. At any point in the night out, if he had a Jaeger bomb, he claimed that would result in no hangover the following day.
I'm sure we tested that claim to its absolute limit a few times and found it wanting.
A Jaeger bomb would evidently end up me either running up the street
naked
protest against
to avoid drinking it.
That's it. No, but as much as we are a beer podcast, don't pigeonhole yourself, people.
No, expand.
Embrace variety. Embrace variety. Red wine. Whiskey. Oh, yummy. Rum. James, I mean, the Kraken cherry rum is a bit sickly for me. Mm. But a good dark rum paired with a ginger ale as well.
I know there'll be something.
Gin and tonic.
I know there'll be something that I've just not explored it or tried to find it because I'm quite happy with the beer.
Matthew have definitely got to be a gin and tonic. My favourite gin every day, not every day, but my favourite go-to house gin, if I'm having gin at home, is Pickering's. Distilled at Summer Hall. Pickering's gin is incredible. You can go out buy it online.
Your cocktail of choice?
Tommy's Margarita.
Right. So what's in a Tommy's Margarita, Scott?
Tommy's Margarita is either Reposado tequila or Blanco tequila, agave syrup, and lime juice. That's it. Just three ingredients.
Right.
Properly, if you use decent enough tequila, which if you're buying... I wouldn't go breaking the bank on tequila, but or Casamigos or anything like that. But if you get the one in Tesco that they do, the Alto tequila is really good for mixing cocktails and stuff with. Then it's just 2 ounces of that to 1 ounce of lime juice and half an ounce of agave syrup. And that's it.
Cocktail right corner.
Shaken. Word through a strainer, yes. The big man.
Yourself, Gavin.
The big man gets his cocktail I mean, and nearly takes
you're
his
on
eye.
A, you're on a...
Of a Friday.
You're on a date night with your lovely wife, Jade.
You're at best it's a strawberry daiquiri or it will be a margarita. At very best. I'll take a wee dack now and again. I swore
off tequila for ages and ages and ages. And my partner, unrelated, also called Jade, got me into
it's not a polygamous situation here, folks. You know,
I mean,
it's two jades.
The fees and train journeys alone would just be totally unfeasible. Totally unfeasible. but the was because it was actually mixing.
That's funny.
Jade tequilas, margaritas and stuff like that that got me back into having tequila because I always swore off it because the tequila I would buy, not buy. Not even as good as Cuervo. It was like Cactus Jack tequila, which is nonsense. It's
made a sombrero and everything.
The closest it got to agave was somebody put aloe vera on.
It was some guy called Gav. Fucking
agave. brutal stuff. Never tequila in his life, but it smelled like it. So every time I was smelling it, it was like, ooh. And then eventually, frozen ones to begin with, and then once we got on, as much as it pains me to say, also a totally uncool statement, gone on a cruise for a week and having the drinks package on which a Saga cruise where tequila. It was decent tequila that was on. You could have a decent margarita frozen or on the rocks, and that got me back into it. And ever since then, and since discovering getting the recipe for buying some agave syrup and doing the Tommy's one, it just makes it, I think, for whatever reason, I think having had too many with Cointreau or having Cointreau in your margarita is dead easy to over pour.
Yeah.
Because I think it's mere drink, so that's a good thing to have. And it just ends up tasting like orange. And then if you swish, if you've ever done that trick before, but if you swish Cointreau, that tastes like mouthwash. And it just, everything becomes totally overpowered. So swapping the Cointreau for the agave syrup lets you have more tequila, brings a sweetness, but doesn't bring any additional flavouring other than more of the agave that you have in the tequila and the sweetness. So it's really, really good. Tommy's Margarita is a go-to. Easy to make, easy to shake, and easy to pour.
And fucking more cocktail corner next week's podcast. At this
definitely
rate.
Will be another one that's really good today because you don't have to measure anything for it, but you have to like better stuff to like it. And it's probably the next level up in terms of nonsense to get the Cal's gin and Dubonnet is the Negroni because you just believe in everything. That's was the late great Anthony Bourdain's favourite cocktail because you just measured it to whatever glass you were having it in. Just do three equal stages of whatever it is and whatever size glass you come across, and all the glass does is Negroni.
My favourite cocktail is the good old fashioned Long Island iced tea.
I was waiting on you saying zombie there.
No.
Because it's nearly as much drinking it as a Long Island iced tea, isn't it?
Drink plus drink plus drink. Tequila, vodka, gin, rum. Triple sec and a wee bit of cola to fucking make it colourful. I love a Long Island iced tea.
That's a friend of the podcast, Andre Faggi's one as well.
Mm-hmm. Long Island iced tea. The other one I would give
for the man.
If Mark was here, he would honour a Blue Munchen, if no highlight The Godfather. For definite, The Godfather, which is his Jack Daniels and Di Serono.
And Disaronno, aye. Fuck, aye.
And cola, aye. Mind you used to order that at the quarry.
Aye. Fucking.
And a quarter, and a dump
Tuesday. Tuesday night, fucking Godfellas at the quarry.
Jesus Christ.
Can I have a thimble full.
Aye.
Just a splash, a mere splash of a hint of cola.
Aye, is exactly that.
Mere idea, a dream, like, a dream aye. Of cola on top of my Jack Daniels and these circles.
Like I mentioned, if you guys want to get involved and send us questions like you've just heard, by all means get involved in the Discord. You can find the link in our Instagram page and join the beer chat on the Beer Fridge
Become
podcast.
Become a fridge magnet.
Some of the chatting is good fun. And fucking yeah. John at the weekend, Sunday, was enjoying a burnt mill beer while having a round of golf at Carnoustie.
Yes.
We're going to need to take him up on that offer.
I know. It's
not Glen Eagles, but I'll take Carnoustie.
Also, if John cares to post his scorecard for the post burnt mill cans, that would be excellent. Thank you. As the only member of the podcast to ever have been kicked off a golf course for not being able to play, I doubt I'll be showing up at Carnoustie anytime soon, unless anybody needs a carry.
You can carry my bag for me, Scott.
Yeah,
I'll drive the golf buggy on the first hole.
Exactly. Perfect.
Straight to the 19th.
Whatever you enjoyed this podcast, as always, make sure you subscribe and you hit that ding-a-ling-a-ling to be notified of every single new episode that is produced by the Beer Fridge Podcast. You can show your support by dropping us a 5-star rating or your official support by going to patreon.com/beerfridgepodcast. If you watch this podcast on YouTube, please do the same. It does genuinely help us and we massively appreciate it. For myself, Gavin, my drinking buddies in the form of Callum and Scotty, until next time on the Beer Fridge Podcast, your home of real beer, real breweries, real opinions. Shee the bye.
Toodaloo.